Welcome to our podcast. It's a privilege again to be able to speak into your life. And I just pray that your heart would be open and prepared to receive a word of encouragement, refreshment, and guidance. God bless you. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one who they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Zechariah 12:10, John 19:33 to 37. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they did not break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, plunged his spear into Jesus' side, and at once blood and water poured out. The one who saw this happen has spoken of it, so that you may also believe what he said is true, and he knows that he speaks the truth. This was done to make the scripture come true. Not one of his bones will be broken. And there is another scripture that says, people will look at him whom they pierced. Last week, we just sort of stepped into these verses, and you know, it's just been on my heart that the Lord is about ready to pour out a fountain of grace upon each of our lives and our homes, and a move of his spirit apart from which we cannot change, we cannot even repent. You know, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can't even repent of sin. We can't even feel the reality of the weight of sin apart from the precious Holy Spirit of God. And every move of God has always been foreshadowed with tears, weeping, not tears that harm, but redemptive tears. And as we spoke last week briefly about the Lord cleansing the temple, that the Lord is just right now coming to his church before he comes before his church. And last week we mentioned how Jesus took a whip and he actually cleared and cleaned out the temple of Herod, the whole court of the Gentiles, four football fields worth of animal cages and people buying and selling and merchants making money on the people of God. And Christ's heart was so moved when he saw the inability of the Gentiles to be able to worship because they had somehow turned the temple into a den of thieves. Well, the Lord's cleansing now. He's coming to the church now. He's coming to our lives, our families, our homes, and what is it that's happening? He's going to allow us the grace to see how we have pierced him. I want to read you a little text from the Gospel of Luke. Some of you remember this story. Peter is usually used as the patron saint of people who speak without knowing what they're talking about. Peter had a case of open mouth, insert foot, chew vigorously. Jesus said at the dinner before his death, you know, all of you are going to deny me. And Peter stood up and said, Lord, though all of these fools deny you, yet I will never deny you. Have you ever gotten up in pride and decided you're going to just declare your loyalty to Jesus? And Jesus says, Peter, Peter, Peter. And Peter goes, no, Lord. Though all these deny you, yet I will never deny you. And Jesus, with a pained look, said, Peter, before the rooster crows this morning, you will have denied you ever knew me three times. Peter's offended by this. We're always offended by the things the Lord tells us about us. How many times have you spoken in full confidence? And yet Jesus sees your weakness. Jesus sees the story. Well, what's very interesting is the night moves on, and the scripture says in verse 54, then they took him and they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also with them. And Peter said, man, I am not. In about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, he said, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. He's a Galilean. And Peter said, I know not what you are saying. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, the rooster crowed. Look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Polarized in this story is everything I want to talk about today. Peter is piercing the heart of Christ. He's denying. One gospel says he began to curse flagrantly, denying Christ. And just as his final denial and leaves his mouth and the rooster crows, he turns and Jesus is staring right at him. Oh, my Lord, what a piercing gaze. I know him not. And Jesus is standing there with his handcuffs on. They're dragging him out to be whipped. And there was just a moment, the Bible says, where their eyes met. And Peter left weeping. Now, this is a sorrow unto death. He doesn't see the Lord again until he's raised from the dead. That was an agonizing 3 days. He denied he ever knew him. Have you ever denied the Lord? Have you ever pierced him through with a denial? Have you ever pierced him through with a flagrant disregard of who he is? Do you know, we pierce him all the time. When we deny his deity, we pierce him. When we deny the things he speaks to be true, his doctrines of faith, we pierce his heart. When we choose our own way beyond the way that he would lead us in, we pierce him. But we don't usually see that we are directly responsible for the piercings on the cross. The Romans did that. Some of the Jewish leaders did that. No, loved one, it was our sin that nailed him to the cross. And what's very interesting about the story of Jesus, and we have our new pulpit today. Those of you listening, we have the pulpit Catherine Coleman used to preach from, and I've also got part of the Spear of Destiny here I'm going to put on the pulpit. This is part of what's called the Spear of Longinus, which is believed to be a... don't take a picture of this, Mike. Mike, I heard that camera come out. I went, oh, Lord, have mercy. One of the spears said to be the spear that pierced the side of Christ is called the Spear of Longinus. And the legend goes that the man's name was Longinus. Now, he's a Roman soldier. He has been ordered to do one thing, and that is to take a metal bar and go out to the Mount of Crucifixion and break all the legs of those being crucified. Why did they do that? Well, that when you would break their legs, it was impossible for them to pull themselves up, so they could not inhale and exhale, and they would suffocate in their own fluids. It's a cruel act. What a cruel command. But these soldiers were very obedient. And he comes out with a crowbar, and he is going to do what he has been commanded to do. And he breaks the legs of the thieves on either side, but he comes to Christ, and he does not do what he was commanded to do because he perceives that he's dead. And then he does something he wasn't commanded to do, and he takes a spear and he pierces the side. And as he pierces through the heart of Christ and the sack near the heart, out comes blood and water, proof that he was dead. But in this moment, the scripture says, prophecy was fulfilled. You know, God can even use an ignorant Roman soldier who knows nothing about prophecy to fulfill the greatest prophecies. Did you know there were two fulfilled? Genesis chapter 12, verse 46 says, not one bone of the Passover lamb would ever be broken. So Christ had literally died. He didn't die when the spear pierced his heart. He was already dead. He had died of a broken heart. So much stress, so much strain. So the Roman soldier, he doesn't know that he's fulfilling a major prophecy, not one, but two. Zechariah 12:10 said they should look upon them whom they have pierced. They will look upon him whom they have pierced. That prophecy was given hundreds of years later, but in Exodus 12, the lamb of the Passover would never have a bone broken. That Roman soldier, did you know God fulfills his providences in strange and odd and wondrous ways? Not only here at the cross, Here's a Roman soldier who, in his full act of freedom, thinks he's in charge of the whole thing, and yet God, as though he was a puppeteer on the ramparts of heaven, is leading this man through steps. Loved one, did you know the piercing that's going on in your heart, in your life right now, and in your family right now is a piercing designed by God Almighty, even if you think you're in total control of it? The chaos we see often in life around us does not ever limit the providence of Almighty God. He is at work and His will be fulfilled. And so at the foot of the cross, we see such a strange thing. Prophecy is being fulfilled through the freedom of this blunt man who doesn't know Scripture. And yet in one moment, he pierces the side of the Son of God, and in that moment, blood and water are revealed. Did you know, loved one, it was the piercing of the heart of Jesus that opened that heart and opened the cleansing that flowed down for all. Legend has it that the man who thrust the spear in his side received a healing of his eyes. Tradition. Wouldn't bet anything on it. But as we look at the pierced heart of Jesus, I want you to see there was a beauty in the piercing. First, there's a horror in it, because when we realize we've pierced His heart, when we realize it's our acts of rebellion and willfulness that break His heart, that produces a godly sorrow that can lead to death. I mean, have you ever just been overwhelmed by a sense of your own failure and your own sin, and you just fall in a heap? And if God just left you there, you'd die. But He never does. He never does. He never leaves you there. There's a paradox about the piercing of the heart of Jesus. It's like the sandal tree that perfumes the axe that wounds it. You know, the sandal tree is an amazing tree. It's a weeping tree. When you wound it, it brings fragrance and it releases oils of beauty that hitherto would be unknown. Unless you wounded it. See, the horror and the reality of owning up to the fact that we have pierced the heart of Jesus. Just when we're almost overcome with a grief that cannot be borne, He says, oh, but in that piercing, my heart is revealed. And in my heart, my love for you, my grace for you, my desire for you is going to flow through that very act of piercing. Loved one, He's so sovereign. He's in such control of your life that every failure and every wound we would willfully inflict upon Him will only reveal from His glorious heart His desire to heal, redeem, and restore, and refresh our lives. Oh, my Lord. I mentioned last week, Zechariah 12:10 is an amazing verse because it talks about the Messiah being pierced. And it talks about, it mentions the piercing in tandem with the greatest conversion we could ever imagine of. Can you imagine all of the Jewish, precious Jewish men, women, boys, and girls who have been taught that Jesus is a Gentile prophet or a blasphemer? The Orthodox believe He's a blasphemer. Some that are a little kinder would say He's maybe a savior to the Gentiles. But there is no harder audience than an Orthodox Jewish audience for the thought of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give you a little four spiritual laws track, and you try to walk them through the fact that salvation is by grace through faith, through His Son, the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That message cannot be heard apart from the Spirit of Almighty God moving upon the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls and bringing a corresponding brokenness. We're talking about a dam broken of tears in every one of our lives. There are dams in every one of our lives that I believe the Lord is going to be breaking up in the next few months. You know, there's no dam in my life. Well, of course not. You're so hardened in certain areas of your soul, you don't even know there's a dam there. And you don't even know there are waters behind it. Waters, deep, deep, deeply troubled waters. Bitter waters. But you know, Jesus, there's something about His pierced heart. There's something about, in the very act of Him allowing Himself to be pierced, He promises that He will do the impossible, save the unsavable. unscrew the inscrutable. Only Christ said, if I, even I, be lifted up, the pierced one, visible to all, I will draw all men unto myself. And Paul goes so far in the book of Romans as to say, all Israel shall be saved. There is coming a time that those who pierced him, us and them, will look upon the piercing and will weep and travail as over an only child. Can you imagine having only one little one, and it's the grace of your life to have this child, and yet to lose such a one would produce such a weeping and a terrifying tragedy inside your soul. Jesus said, that's the kind of violent repentance I'm going to stir in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls in the world. This isn't through fancy preaching. It's not going to come through dynamic worship. It's the Holy Spirit. We can't preach anyone into this. You can't yell anyone into this. You can't. I always say I can only teach my kids, but I want to learn my kids something. I want to put my hand on my kids and learn them everything I know. But you can't learn anyone anything. You can only teach. They got to do the learning. I wish we could have a learning helmet. Wouldn't that be great? And just shut you up and sit you down and just put that helmet on your head. And about 2 hours later, not only is your hair done, but your soul is done. And you take that helmet off and go, I understand all things, Daddy. That's what I would like to hear my kids say. Yes, Father. Yes, Mother. Wouldn't it be great to learn people things? But you can't. Even God can't. But His Spirit can soften the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. But it's the kind of tension. You've seen this story with Peter? Have you ever just denied Christ by your behavior, by your actions, by your testimony, has failed somebody? Oh, I have. I've offended so many people. I've hurt so many people. I can't even be. I only hope heaven will cover that all. Even people I don't even know yet that I'm going to find out. They were going to serve Jesus, then they went out and killed themselves because Craig didn't do this or did do that or said this or didn't say that. I'm telling you, it's heartbreaking when you try to help people to see that you're hurting people, right? And do you know the feeling that comes over you when you realize you are guilty, you are responsible for harming someone else's walk and the way that they choose to relate to God? I mean, it's you pull your hair out. It's horrible. If you don't watch it, it could be a sorrow unto death where you would just die. But you know, God is in the business of sorrow that leads to life. Weeping that leads to life. Sometimes the tears have to come and they have to flow. But only the Holy Spirit can open your heart to see that sin. Come on, you know everything you jealously guard in your heart and things that you defend about your life and your behavior and your past. Only the Holy Spirit can prick your conscience, just as one day all of Israel will understand, I pierced him. Oh my God, he is the Messiah. Oh my God, I denied him. Not they, I denied him. I killed him. I whipped him. I beat him. I put the crown of thorn on his head. There's something there that begins to break up the fountains of the great deep. Waters that just cannot be assuaged. You know, I talked to someone the other day and I said, honey, you're afraid to start crying because you think if you ever start, you'll never be able to stop. Some of you have that same reserve. You know things about your life, but the Holy Spirit's never been able to come in and pierce that area and release all the filth, all the pus, all the liquid, all the hurt, all the bitterness. You know it's there, neck up, left brain, but you've never been in contact with that thing. Because if you ever tapped into it, you would be killed. It would overwhelm you. Let me tell you something, loved one. Jesus, through his pierced heart, is going to release grace for you. You will not be overwhelmed when he brings tears of cleansing. I promise you. Not only will he never leave you or forsake you, but he will never lead you into waters, deep waters, where he will not stay with you. You will not be overcome. Remember? He said, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. When you walk through the waters, you will not be overwhelmed. But you know what? It's our place to say, Lord, come and begin to break up the fountains of the great deep in my soul. That's what he's doing. I'm telling you. This talking about it isn't going to make it happen. But when it happens, remember Genesis 7:11, and the breaking up of the fountains of the great deep and the waters rained down from heaven for 40 days. It's going to start raining, blessing, but then God's going to bring a corresponding breaking up of the deep, deep wells That's the transaction. Rain falling, fountains of the great deep breaking up that brought about the condition that raised the Ark of Noah and saved the world. He's bringing this to us. Let's be open. Say, Lord, right here, me, now, draw a circle around my life. Start with me. Start with me. Start with me. Loved one, it's coming. There's a lot of sorrow on the news, but that's a sorrow unto death. God always brings godly sorrow that leads to repentance, which leads to life. He will never just leave you strung out and hung out where you just want to die. He will come and bring a full circle fruition to the piercing he allows in your life. Have you noticed in the case of Jesus, the cruel piercing of his heart actually opened his beautiful heart for it to pour out all that was actually in it for the salvation of the world. So there's this double-edged sword. A wicked piercing yields the greatest outpouring of God's love and grace in the world. That's what we're about to see. We're not going to see church as usual in the future. There's not going to be buildings big enough. And once God verifies a few HIV healings and, you know, the things actually happen and there's before and after demonstration, the next day that's done in social media. There won't be any building big enough, outdoors big enough to contain the people with that disease that are going to want to come and beg for mercy and a touch. You see the stream and the fountain God is going to open cannot be contained within church walls or structured religious organizations. There's not enough room. The buildings aren't big enough. And you won't really be able to work that kind of a crowd. Glad you're all here today. Welcome to church. No. These people are just desperate. And they heard one guy got healed. They don't want to hear anyone work them, take an offering, try to get them into their group or mobilize them for a cause. These are just people that are desperate. And desperate people do desperate things. And they need a God that will move in the midst of their desperation. But it's the pierced heart of Jesus that gives us the model. The horror of the piercing, yes. We're responsible for it, yes. And then we begin to weep. Look at how Peter wept when he realized he had denied the Lord. All of his pride and his arrogance. I will never betray you, Lord, though all these idiots do. These fools may, but I will not. He's humiliated. He runs away and weeps bitterly. And by the way, he leaves the Lord to his fate. But when Jesus rises from the dead, the first thing he says to Mary Magdalene is, go tell my disciples and Peter. He didn't say, go tell my disciples and James. Go tell my disciples and Thomas. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm going to appear before them in Galilee. Peter had a personal appearance where the Lord said, we're good. It's all right. It's all right. I understood. You loved one, you know what? There is a faith of the fallen. You know, sometimes you can fall down and you can't get up and your faith hasn't failed. You may have, but your faith hasn't failed. Remember that commercial, the old lady, I've fallen and I can't get up, right? And she's got her little medic bracelet or something that she calls for help. Well, sometimes you can even fail, but your faith doesn't fail. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. He didn't pray Peter wouldn't fail. He knew Peter would fail miserably, horribly, but he prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. Some of you have failed in life, but your faith still down inside is still saying, God, I love you anyway. I trust you anyway. Get me out of this. Get me out of this. You know, Pastor Rick David used to use an analogy. He said, Craig, you know what? He said, God sees the hearts and minds of men. If you were back 2,000 years ago, you could have seen a Pharisee whose outfit was majestic, whose phylacteries were impeccable, whose physical bearing looked marvelous, and yet he's wicked. And you could look at a prostitute servicing a customer who all the time in her heart is going, God, help me. Oh, God, deliver me. Oh, God, I hate this. And Jesus said, she is a sheep of God. He isn't, because God knows the hearts of men. Don't be quick to judge people on the hearing of the ears and the seeing of your eyes, because you can be wrong. You could call someone just who is unjust, and you can call someone unjust who is just. You see, because Jesus sees your heart, he doesn't condemn you in ways that people do. And people can legitimately accuse you of things that you've done. But God knows your heart and the motive behind it. But it requires a piercing of that heart to reveal such truth. Isn't it something? God prophesied the pierced heart of the Messiah. in Exodus 12, the book of Genesis in Exodus, written so many years ago, 1400s BC, those events, the Passover lamb's bones would not be broken. Jesus was the Passover lamb and the fulfillment, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the Roman soldier couldn't break his legs. He had a bar in his hand. He was ordered by his superiors, break their legs or else. Guess what? He didn't. Some strange feeling came over him and said, this guy's already dead. I'm not going to break his legs. Fulfillment of prophecy. But I do have this spear. I mean, just see that he's dead. Pierces his side. Out comes the blood and water. All this randomness in the freedom of the hand of this rough Roman. He had no idea that he was God's pawn in that moment. And loved one, God is doing strange and wonderful works in our lives with regard to the piercings he's allowing. You say, why was I pierced like that, Pastor? I don't know, but he is so strategic about the piercings he allows because he knows that after the pain, there will be an exposing of the heart that could never have poured out kindness, mercy, grace, and truth without the piercing. See, there's no way we could be saved except that the heart of Jesus was exposed. When he, in resurrected, glorified body of flesh and bone, appears to Thomas, he says, Thomas, thrust your hand in my side. That was a big old honking wound to put your palm up in. But that piercing opened the heart of Jesus. It put it on display so that salvation and grace would be realized in us. And loved one, I dare to say that the piercings you've endured and are enduring right now in your life are not fruitless. They're not without a beginning, middle, and end. There is a sovereign dimension of God's hand in them. I know they're painful. I know your heart's distraught. I know it's been laid bare for all to see. But you know what? Everything beautiful about your heart is also laid bare when the piercing occurs. It's like the axe hitting the sandal tree. It's covered with oils and fragrance and healing and blessing. That's what's going on in your life right now. When you're crushed, when you're smitten, when you're pierced, there's something so beautiful that emerges out of who you are. And the plan of God just sort of splashes all over everything. Oh, it can look messy and nasty, but God always brings the best out of the piercings of your heart and your life. Do you see? You see the principle? Looking at the pierced heart of Jesus, realizing that we're responsible for it, brings us to one level of sorrow, but then we do see his heart now and can look into it in ways we couldn't before it was pierced, and now we see his mercy and his kindness, and that we are the beloved of the Lord on whom his favor rests, and he'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us, and what love that he would give himself like that for me. That transforms everything about me. And loved one, your pierced heart is revealing beautiful things through you that will transform the lives of others. People aren't just watching how you live, they're watching how you die. We've got to teach people how to live and we've got to teach people how to die. People aren't just learning from you by watching how you obtain and hold on to things, they're learning how you lose things and let things go that are precious to you. Did you know we are on display at all moments for people to be watching us? Paul said we're epistles, letters read of all men. That means that the fine print of our life has to be read. You got to get up close to someone to read the fine print of their life and see how they conduct themselves in every situation. We all love movies because we know somehow the hero is going to come out at the end. When we last left our hero, he's usually hanging over a cliff by his left leg. And then the commercial comes on, right? And you're like going, whoa, 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 whoa. And then you want to go back and see how did he do, you know? You just somehow know that Liam Neeson is going to win.
Amen.
You just know, Chuck. Remember those wonderful days? What's his name again? Chuck Bronson, Charles Bronson. Remember that? Oh. As a kid, we used to love to watch all Charles Bronson's movies. Because first you see the music start, a butterfly flies in, and a beautiful family is in a park. Now you know they're all going to be dead in the next 30 seconds. But you also know that Charles Bronson will make it right. He'll make it right. You pay money to know the movie's going to start nasty, but it's going to end real good. And your life may look a little nasty right now, but it's going to end good. The piercing will yield beauty you never dreamed possible. And thank God for the people God's used to pierce your heart, loved one. Thank God for Judas. He got Jesus to the cross quicker. He'll use your enemies to promote your ministry in due course. You don't see it immediately. But you know what? Thank God for Judas. He had to do what he did to get Jesus where he was. Quit complaining about your enemies. The implements of piercing, even in their hands, even if their motives horrible, your beautiful heart, when pierced, will yield the perfect will of God through you and out of you. Finest compliment I ever heard in ministry was a lady that came up to me and said, Pastor Craig, it's no sermon you ever preached. It's nothing, and you're wonderful, and you can tap dance, and we just love you and all this stuff. But she said, I didn't kill myself because I watched some things you walked through, and I figured if God could keep him through what he's walked through, he can keep me, and she didn't kill herself. I don't think there could ever be a greater word of encouragement. And there are people, loved one, that are watching you and are drawing similar strength from saying, if she can do it and serve God, I can do it too. Something beautiful revealed in piercing. You know? David said, it was good that my heart was afflicted. King David said, it was so good that I was afflicted. It was so good I went through piercing in my life. It was so good because I couldn't mature the way I matured if God had not allowed that piercing. Now, you don't say that immediately. You pray that prayer way after. Like 10 years later, you go, I praise the Lord for my piercing. Never in the moment. Mm-hmm. You know what I find amazing? The promise of his piercing was given in Zechariah 12:10, but there was a little problem. God the Son, second person of the Trinity, could not be pierced in any way unless he had a pierceable form. Got to have a body to be pierced. So the second person of the Trinity, the Bible says, struck a tent in human flesh, John 1:14. The Word struck a tent, eskene, tabernacled among us. That little baby thing that made a woman cry. When he grew up, he assumed a body. He was born to die. God had given the promise, you will pierce him. You will look upon him whom you have pierced, and you will wail, and you will mourn and repent, but life will come. But he had to have a pierceable form, so the scripture tells us. In Hebrews 10:5-7, for this reason, when Christ was about to come into the world, he said to God, you do not want sacrifices and offerings, but you have prepared a body for me. You are not pleased with animals burned whole on the altar or with sacrifices to take away sins. Then I said, here I am to do your will, O God, just as is written of me in your book. Isn't that beautiful? God the Son, second person of the Trinity, says, I'll assume humanity, a pierceable form, so that the promise of piercing can occur with me. Isn't that beautiful? That's love. Such love. A friend of mine wrote a song called, it went, love came down at Christmas. Angels gave the sign to all the world. The Father's love came down at Christmas time. Second person of the Trinity assumes the second what and nature of humanity, and now he's pierceable. And that's who was on the cross, the God-man. Whew. Love beyond reason. And you know, the Lord will use people at the foot of your cross to pierce you too. Christ, the scripture calls them mad dogs of Bashan. Who surround you to destroy you. But God goes, don't worry, honey. I got my sovereign providential hand in this thing. They won't break anything they're not allowed to break, and they'll only pierce what I allow them to pierce, and it's all going to work together in some sovereign and wonderful way. Isn't that lovely? The book of Acts puts it this way, with wicked hands you crucified him, yet he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But you, with wicked hands, crucified him. There is both freedom and sovereignty. Them viciously carrying out what the evil intent of their heart was in even harming him, whipping him, beating him, spearing him, crucifying him. Yet it was determinate knowledge and foreknowledge of the Lord that set that up so that it would happen just that way. Loved one, you may look at confusion right now. God says there's a sovereign predestination woven in and through all the events of your life coming up right now. Don't worry about it. But get ready to cry yourself a river. If you wake up crying in the night, praise the Lord. That's liquid love. That's the language of heaven. Those tears are the diamonds of the soul. The Lord's stirring our hearts to weep as though over our only child lost. But these aren't just tears of lamenting. These are tears of joy, relief, release. You know, when I see people get good news, have you ever watched the programs where the boss shows up and gives them a house or something? When you see people begin to sob uncontrollably, probably the greatest intensity of tears and sobbing is when someone's done a good thing to them that they can't even imagine. Someone comes up and says, by the way, we just bought you and your family a house. And watch what happens. Watch the dams that begin to break. Watch the summoning, the calling forth of tears you never thought that person had in them. But they're all tears of joy. But they sob and they cry and they fall out on the floor. And it's good news. But the Lord is piercing our hearts. Simeon held the 8-day-old baby Jesus. And he spoke of those who were looking for consolation in Israel. But he put his hand on Mary and said, but a sword shall pierce your heart also. A sword shall pierce your heart as well. He foresaw the day when she would stand and watch her son pierced in public. I want to encourage you, loved one. He's breaking up the fountains of the great deep inside of us. Do you know how many people I know that have been through horrendous child abuse and they know it left brain, neck up? They know about it, can talk about it, make jokes about it, but they've never, ever yet had the depths plumbed and the heart pierced and those tears brought out. It's like you see someone talking about surviving in Auschwitz, you know, and they go, yeah, I was in Auschwitz, tortured by Dr. Mengele. Could you have passed me the salt, please? Thank you so much. And could we get some more ketchup? Thank you. So anyway, I'm on the torture. You can get to a point where you have such a dam around your heart, you can talk about the unthinkable things and feel nothing. But the Holy Spirit wants to come and pierce through all those crusty layers. And believe me, he won't let you start crying so that you can't stop. He just wants to leak out of us whatever that shame is, the guilt is, the pain is, the stockpiled grief. You know, some people have so much stockpiled in them. You know, it's like holding 45 beach balls under the water. And you just know something's going to happen and all those things are going to start going to boom, 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 coming up. Well, Jesus is the best guy in the surgical category to lance your heart and lance those wounds. So can we just simply say, Lord, I'm a candidate. I pierced you. I put you on the cross. I'm overwhelmed by that. But I see that the axe has brought sandalwood and its beauty out. Loved one, God's about to do a beautiful work. But see, he wants to pour his power out, and the only folks that can stand in the direct presence of his power are people that are flexible. If there's any rigidity and steel in our soul, we cannot be used. Next, can't be. You know, there's a point where God will not try to discuss anything with you. He just has to move you out of the way so that he can move in. But those who endure piercing, those who welcome the dams broken up, fountains in great deep, yielding tears as weeping over your only child, those willing to endure that experience will be the feathers in the wind he's going to use. It'll release you to be the Forrest Gump God has called you to be in his kingdom work, just to show up at the right place at the right time and make history in your little world. Come on. Father. Father God, Father God, just like the axe chopping at the sandal tree, bring the ointment, bring the anointing, oh God. Lord Jesus Christ, all of the sluice gates that need to be opened to let the waters of a lifetime flow forth, we ask that you would open them now. Open the gates that we cannot. Open the gates and break them off so we can't stop the effusion, the beauty, the grace, the outpouring of your precious Spirit. Lord, we want to belong to whatever you're doing. we want to sign up for the next thing. We want to get in our little canoe and be so available to go with the flow of the new work that you're doing in the world. We don't want to be left behind. We don't want to just say no, 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 and just become ensconced in our smallness and our immaturity and our selfishness, Lord. Widen our hearts, Lord. Make us expansive men, women, boys, and girls that say, thy kingdom come, all of it. Thy will be done, all of it, Lord. Break my heart, God. If there's anything we need to see that would help us see who we've pierced, it would come home to us. Bring it. Let it be. We see so many beautiful things in your heart once you allowed it to be pierced. What grace. What forgiveness. What beauty. Beyond imagination, Jesus. Let people look at our piercing in a similar way. Let them say, I never knew he was so precious. I never knew she was so tender. I never knew they knew you so well, Lord. Oh God, we pray for the blood and water and the tears that are going to flow would be holy, sacred, and would moisten the ground around our feet, Lord, so that seed could be planted that will bring harvests beyond our comprehension. But they're all harvests watered by tears, the diamonds of the soul. Open a fountain of grace to us. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and attention. And if you want to find out about further resources, go to drcraigjohnson.net. If you have a prayer request, you can leave it there. And also, we would encourage you, if this ministry is a blessing to you, we survive solely on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. So there's a donate page, drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you and yours.